Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Chocobo.
And no one else, because it's only you that's continued to go through Final Fantasy VII this close to the end of the year. So I thought we would do a big old conversation on kind of what it feels going like, what it feels like going into one of the, one of these biggest, most illustrious franchises and having Final Fantasy VII Remake be your entry point. How have you found it so far? What's your thoughts on the old Final Fantasy overall?
Well, it technically isn't my entry point because I watched The Spirits of Inn back on VHS.
That's not an entry point. That's a brick wall.
What's the other one called where it actually has the Sephiroth in it in the actual film?
Advent Children?
Yeah, I've seen that over a friend's shoulder, and I think I've been in the room when someone played a Kingdom Hearts, which is close.
I love just Final Fantasy ephemera, like Spirits Within, Advent Children, over a shoulder, and then a little bit of Kingdom Hearts.
It's just kind of like radiation because Advent Children was on that house party, so that sort of thing. But yeah, if this is my first legit, genuine time I've sat down like, I'm going to play a Final Fantasy. I am trying to make up for my years of sin not playing these games. And straight off, I think for the first one, it's pretty good.
So I want to break a few things down because obviously Final Fantasy VII has such a massive legacy. A lot of people played the original PS1 one, but in doing the remake, like there's just so much to talk about in regards to how much they reapproached the story. They split it to do it in multiple installments. They said that it was potentially going to be like 5 or 4, and now it's in theory going to be a trilogy, but they keep going back and forward on it. But I guess, how did you find that? Because you haven't finished it just yet, but you are very near the end. How have you found the story and the world and the general sort of, like, has it lived up to the idea of what Final Fantasy VII is?
Well, to brush people up, I've just beaten two guys. I can't even remember their name. Neo is one of them. Neo or Nero?
Maybe.
He's got long red hair and he's got a cane.
What?
And he hangs around with a bald guy who wears sunglasses in a helicopter.
Oh my God, Rude and Reno, right?
Yes. Rude and Reno.
I was
yes,
like,
sorry.
Nero.
As you can tell, like I'm some of these things, like they come and go so fast.
This is why I wanted to get you on this because, like, if you're new to Final Fantasy, then it's like, yeah, what's it like going into such a big storied thing and trying to pick it apart?
Are we spoiling the story? Can we just say that?
You won't be able to do the big spoilers because you haven't hit them yet. So yeah,
does the plate fall down in the original game as well?
Yes.
So they just kill like even more like innocent people. That it's weird because I thought they would obviously save that because it's all happy and friends and hugging and stuff. Uh-huh. Especially when they will spend 20 minutes on someone who is shouting at someone with a gun. It's like, just let us through. And he's like, obviously guns don't really mean the same thing they do in Final Fantasy as they do everywhere else. It's just funny.
It's like you only get killed if you're in a cutscene. Otherwise it's like you'll be totally fine.
Also like people sitting there going, I can't do it anymore. Just sitting there. And I'm like, wait, I don't think you're dead. Are you dead? You just went anime sort of like, oh. And then Cloud goes, oh.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. And then we just leave their body there. So I don't know if they're dead.
There's a lot of, some of that is just like anime tropes. Like there's always, in anime, there's always like unless they've had a giant big send off where they can really drag out their death sequence, chances are they've still got that to come. And Final Fantasy does do that. To clarify what you meant with the plate, that's the city of Midgar is sort of set on two tiers. And then at one point in the story, the Shinra. Yes, it's called the Rotting Pizza. That's the nickname for it. And there's Mayor Domino, who's the name of the mayor who is part of the city. But at one point, one of the top plates falls down and crushes the slums below, which I was going to say was way... Because did you find that was emotionally anything? Because I thought it was way better done in the original. I didn't feel that much for it in the new one.
I think because I didn't believe it was going to happen. And I can't remember the big guy who...
Barrett? I'm trying to think.
Barrett. Not Barrett, because Barrett's already up there like kicking ass. But the... one of the ones with the bandana who they make fun of him for being fat.
Wedge.
yeah, Wedge is doing his whole like spiel down the bottom. That sort of takes me out a bit.
Right.
And then you get to the actual fight and I'm all stressed out because I'm trying to beat these helicopter troopers that
float
in the air just far away and you're being shot by some turrets. And sometimes, especially when you're on your own at this point in the game, you have no one else to rely on, like team-wise. It can be a bit horrible. And a bit like, I've just beaten some of the biggest bosses and then one little dude with some propeller blade is just ruining me.
Something. Yeah, those guys, they love, considering how much they overhauled the combat, I do think this is the best combat system Square Enix have ever done. Like, I love a good turn-based combat system, but they've been trying to do more sort of live-action Platinum-style combat for a while, and 15s was weird. It was like holding buttons to pull off animations. It just felt strange. But for the most part, I think this thing does feel responsive. It does feel like you can experiment in the moment, like, you know, different launchers and like parries and like countering and stuff. But like you said, they do love throwing chip damage enemies at you and stuff that just decimates you from off screen. Has that just got in the way a little bit too much?
Not as much as other games I've played. It's not Sekiro. It's not a Ghosts of Tsushima. They block at the last minute. You've got to switch stances. Sorry about that. But I found it, I thought, oh, I'm just going to be beating up rats for the whole time when you first start.
And why would it be that?
Because when I heard that this game was going to be dragged out, I thought it was good. Because it doesn't, someone to me who's never played the other ones, it doesn't feel dragged out. All feels coherent and it feels like it's moving at a steady pace.
That's fascinating. So in the original game, the entirety of the Midgar section takes like 5-ish hours. But in this, it is the entirety of like a 30-hour thing. And so for me, with a direct comparison of the original to now, I noticed when they put all the side missions in and all the, for me, that just felt like total bloat when it was like, here's this mission board and you're going to hang out with Aerith for a bit and you're going to hang out with Barret and Tifa for a bit and you can go do all these random side missions that are just like kill 5 things, go find 6 cats, whatever. That stuff sort of just fall together though because you were experiencing the world for the first time.
It did. I think the ones that lagged for me is when, as I just did before the plate fell, you go up, when you go up the stairs in this game, you're just going up the same room about 4 or 5 times. And there's also a bit when you choose to weaken a robot enemy that they build up for a while, and you go, it's like 7 times you go through the same 3 rooms or something like that. And that was another thing that I was starting to notice dragged a bit as well. But they're the only times that I really sort of get a bit nulled down. And also the video game moments of when Cloud has to slowly go through a gap all of a sudden.
When they're just loading the next big area. Yeah, that was one of the things where, like, even when we did the hands-on stuff before launch, where I was like, okay, I guess what I know why you need this, because I know you need to render out the next bunch of corridors and whatever, but it's so noticeable. Like, I think for me, those were the things that combined with the side mission blow kind of did feel like it got in the way of the pacing. But that's also because I have a direct comparison to what it's supposed to be. It's like if you took like a, I don't know, like a movie, you take the opening 10 minutes and you drag that into 2 hours, I'm going to be super aware of what plot point is supposed to be landing, but we're stretching it all the way out.
Like, all the ghost stuff came at a sort of right point for me because I was kind of bored of going through another town. Some of the comedy stuff with the dressing, like, I thought was funny to start, but then that lasted a bit long. But then like doing the ghost stuff and like having to think of totally different ways to beat enemies after fighting a stupid house that you have to either travel to, like in real life, have to travel to the top of a mountain and ask some sort of like person, like, how do you beat this thing? Or because I don't even think when you assess it, it tells you this color means that, this color means that on the windows. So yeah, I did cheat that.
Okay, so for that thing, that is one of the finest pieces of fan service in like gaming history, because that thing in the original game was nothing. It was just a random enemy that you found on the way to the slums, on the way to Wall Market, and you just fight this like demonic house. And in 1997, it was like, what the hell is this? Why is there a house attacking me? What's going on? And then in that one, when you do the combat arena and you're down underground, and all of a sudden, you know, they say like, oh, the champion boss thing that belongs to Don Corneo is like, oh, this big, and they say like, it's the Hell House, and it comes out the ground, and like someone like me went, oh my god, you've taken this thing that was nothing and made it a big stadium sized thing. But like you said, the fight itself is this big like elemental thing where if you're not working out specific weaknesses, you are just kind of boned, because it'll just kill, because you died like 45 minutes in or something, right?
Yes, I got so far in and I was constantly trying to heal the people and get them through it. I just started to lose the will and slow down, and I wasn't doing much damage to the Hell House. And I didn't realize what
lose
I was
the will to live.
I didn't realize what I was doing wrong, and the man on the intercom was like, "The Hell House is here."
He's loving it.
God. And just like, I will say, I don't know how you'd ever fix this, but when you resurrect people, like with Phoenix Down or Rise, I wish that they had a moment to not be just bundled by a massive enemy, or if they're just in the way, they're just down straight away again, and you've got to wait for your half bar to fill up to use anything again. Then sometimes that can fall into a mess of like, the hell?
You can get stuck in a loop. Yeah, like that's kind of like a JRPG trope, that sometimes you can just get stuck in a death resurrect cycle where you're just, especially in the turn-based games, you were waiting to come around again to do something else, and then, oh, that character's been killed again, and whatever. I think you can get around that a bit in terms of like specking towards, like leveling up the, like you said, the resurrect stuff so that they come back with full health and things like that. Have you found the combat system? Because like, I think that fights like the Hell House thing force you into a mindset of elementals that other fights don't, and I like that. Especially when you come back to it on like hard mode and stuff, because in this game's hard mode, you only get a certain amount of MP for the whole chapter. So you have to ration out when you use your spells. And I think that I love the way that forced me to think. But like, do you think, I don't know, like, should it take something as annoying as the Hell House to force you into that mode?
I think a lot of the time I was, because I did take a bit of a break through this, because I stopped playing this to play Tsushima. So I kind of like, I lost a few tricks. But at the beginning, I was definitely just like, I'm just going to brute force these people as Cloud, because I've got a big, massive Cloud sword, and what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. And then I think after Hell House, that's been like, that shifted my focus to making Aerith my favorite, like my favorite character.
We should talk about that as well, because the you were messaging me about like you were fighting one of the enemies underground. I forget the specific name, but it has two big horns and you fight it in the sewers.
Yes.
And that thing, you can die to that after a massive amount of time as well, because towards the end of the fight, it starts doing those attacks. Yeah, which just like swamp the area. And if you're not in the right place, you just get wiped out. Not instantly, but you can. And I was saying to you that like you need to be swapping between the whole party. I like the fact that in this one, they kind of found a way to like evolve the JRPG mentality and have you play as a whole team all at once. And that was something that I just sort of did, but I think that was just me experimenting with how fast can I swap without knocking the frame rate? Is it going to keep up with me?
Yeah.
Whereas like you said that you hadn't been thinking that way. And I know Cleary didn't as well. When Adam Cleary went through it with me before launch, he was picking one character and just doing that. Whereas like, once you start jumping between everybody, for me, that all starts to come together.
Also, I use it more of a sneaky technique, because the most recent boss, you remember the names that I've just forgotten just now. It was Rude and...
it's Rude and Reno.
I was just switching just so I would fake them out. So I'd let them attack someone that I didn't want to use, go back to our onesies and actually get an attack in.
Reno is the one with the red hair.
Doesn't matter what you do, he'll just go for anything you do and he'll just combo you and sort of a juggle, so you've either got
roll. You can parry him.
Yeah, but when I'm doing my focus thrust, then he just and he just bats me off through that. I'm just like, fine, I'll phase you out a bit and I'll just move around and I'll be Barrett for a bit. You can just hit Barrett instead. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Well, that's the thing, because they hint at like specific roles early on that I think really come into their own over time. Like the more, once you start realizing that you can, you know, twin sort of, Tifa's basic attacks with like a lightning infusion, so that all her like really fast melee flurries are lightning infused. And maybe you can do that with Barret from a distance, so that all of his rounds are like fire infused. And maybe you're up against something that has a fire weakness, then you position Barret far away and just have him sort of rain down stuff from afar. Like if you started thinking more like that, because I think that's what they're trying to do, but I also realized that they could do that. They could make you think like that way earlier in the game.
I think after Hell House, I've been getting more into trying to like actually use material a lot more and like be thinking about more than just like, oh, everyone's gonna have cure because I just need everyone to be able to bring everyone back to life and sort of thing. But I think after this, I'm starting to get into that now, especially with like specifically using lightning to take down that helicopter at one point, or the other giant ox thing. And also, it seems like everything's weak to fire, by the way, like almost everyone, which I just realized, and now I'm just using fire more than some other attacks, because
fire's like a good baseline, but you get like specific, it'll always pop off and say like a specific weakness or a specific thing that it's like immune to, so I guess you're always trying to combine stuff. It's just weird, because I like went through it the first time and then restarted it, went through it all again on hard, and it was the hard stuff that I thought was just brilliant. Like that's one of the only games that I would wholly recommend on hard. Like depends on how much you think that you like it by the end kind of thing, but the way that it forces you into that mold of like specifically working out what like elements combo together and setups and character builds and stuff like that. What was it about this one that made you want to dive in? Was it just the production value and things like that, or is it the reputation that it has?
It's the reputation mainly. I think everyone everyone and their mothers. I think my granddad, who's never played a video game, has told me that Final Fantasy VII is the best.
That's great.
One of the best things of all time and everything like that. And I was like, okay, I will play this game. And also the new combat style and seeing how it is revamped and everything like that, because I don't think I've, at this point in time, especially with trying to play so much of stuff, I have the patience to even play some of the older Final Fantasies on there, like enhanced speed modes that they've kind of got. Mm-hmm. So this has really sort of been like the gateway for me to get into that sort of thing. And I'm really enjoying the just the freedom of movement, being like, instead of me playing, like, say, like, I think the last time I played a game similar to this was it like the Third Age, Lord of the Rings?
Okay. Oh, you mean like any sort of turn-based RPG?
Yeah, where you can't move at all, sort of thing. Right. And you just, and I just get sort of, I would, back, especially years ago, I would just get angry. Like, why can't I move or do something in the moment, you know, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and, they like, yeah, they want to make something that will bring people in like that. For me, I mean, like I said, I love a good turn-based thing. Because
did
it
you
is
play those... this turn-based or did you play it all action?
Oh God, no, not the turn-based option that's in the remake. That thing is horrible. I mean, the original... Oh, it's, well, they tried to like split the difference and be like, hey, old school fans, don't worry, we've got you. Like, you can make this new one turn-based, but it's crap. Like, it's just, they just make it so that the action freezes. Like, it's like you tell Cloud to attack or whatever, and then you just watch him move into position and attack, and then it stops again and you do something else. So it doesn't really, it just feels weird. It just feels like you have fundamentally less control, as opposed to like the best JRPG systems are the ones where it's tactically minded. Like, I know you like XCOM games, and it's like that sort of, you know, you are like, strategically thinking multiple turns ahead and stuff like that. I guess, like, what do you think of the story as well? What do you think about Sephiroth? Do you feel much in the way of Sephiroth? Because he's one of the biggest villains in gaming history.
Well, I don't think we've had a lot of him in the moment, where I am, sort of thing. It's more been, I think you said, is it the mayor of the city?
Yeah, Mayor Domino.
We saw him for a minute. Who's Marcus Fenix?
Or well, is that, what do you mean?
One of it, him or his mate? I think his general mate is the same voice as Marcus Fenix.
Oh, John DiMaggio. Actually, I think I remember Googling that back in many years ago.
And the actual mayor sounds like Skullface from The Phantom Pain, which made me laugh. But I think... Really, I've just seen like Rude and a couple of the other guys, and it's more been, I've enjoyed the message of like saving the city, and it's sort of like, even though they're being painted as the terrorists when they're not really, and they're trying to do something for good. Like, I thought it was a bit hammy and a bit weird at the very beginning, but I it's more, I think, endeared to the characters, because I don't think you actually, at my point, they're still sort of like leading you along and not really letting you know what's going on. You know, there's something going on with Aerith, but you're not quite sure yet, and
right.
Cloud's barely ever speaking. He just goes,
yeah. What's your thoughts on Cloud as a character as well? Because he's not completely different, but they write him very differently, because they need to sort of make him this like husk of a dude, because his sort of the revelation of who he really is and what's really going on isn't going to come for you or for the remake people for like another few years.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He feels a bit nothing at the moment. It feels like Aerith and Tifa are the sort of the stars of the show, and they feel the more fleshed out, because I think it's because you go along with them and they're actually talking to you, and they don't feel so much of like a not a joke, but sometimes when at the beginnings with Barrett, when he's just shouting at you and he's angry at Cloud, you don't take him serious as much. But when you have those moments of Aerith and Tifa at these certain points, and even Jessica towards the beginning, but now she's just gone and forgotten about, sort of feel like.
Did you feel attached to Jessie? Because they very much use her as like a surrogate for another character, because she wasn't anything in the original one, so they try and flesh her out. Did that work for you?
I felt like she definitely felt like second tier of the team, right, along with Wedge and their other friend. But
Biggs.
But I kind of like...
Is it Biggs? Anyway.
I felt sank for most of them. Like, Cloud seems to be the only one who isn't really human to me at the moment.
Right.
And I'm waiting to see what carries on, sort of thing.
A lot of that is quite intentional, I guess, because they're going to fill some stuff in. But like I said, that's end game stuff. It's like, at least it's end game in the original. I don't know how they're going to bring it in with this one. But did you find, because Josh was saying when he went through it, that like at a couple of points, especially when the plate falls, that he felt completely taken out of it, because they show what looks like a random cat with a crown on its head lamenting the fact that the plate's fallen. And he was like, what the hell? Because he was completely invested in the drama of the moment.
Yeah.
Whereas like for me, I know exactly who that is. They're not supposed to be there yet. But have you found that clash at all?
I had that exact same sort of thing. It'd be like if I just started like ignoring you and started playing this like Funko Pop here. It was kind of like, what is the cat thing?
Right.
But what about everyone else? Like, surely hundreds, maybe a thousand of people are being crushed at the moment.
Yeah.
And then random cat is like going, meow. I'm like,
the cat's very sad, mate.
And I've just had this long fight with two dudes that just love to juggle you and span their electric powers out. And that fight, especially coming to the end where I was like, resurrect, I couldn't do you. Oh, you're dead again. Bring up. Right. So like, I was falling apart at the seams at the end of that. So to have just Kat going like, oh, I think I'm there with Josh, that I don't know what's going on with that yet.
Right. I think that the bit where it breaks the most in terms of, I don't know what's going on and I feel like I should have this body of knowledge, is way more towards the end. You'll see when you get there, but that was the thing that made, like, Josh deleted it as soon as he finished it. And it wasn't like a marker on that he's not bothered about what happens next. But he was very much like, oh, okay, you've designed this ending in a way that is, it is fundamentally connected to the original game, and it's fundamentally connected to the fandom and everything else. And like, that was the thing that made me love it. But it was always like, I opened the review when I reviewed it back in March or whatever, saying that you should only play this if you play the original. And a lot of that was fueled by the way that it goes. But I guess overall, like I said, if you haven't felt like you're missing out on anything, it still feels like, other than the cat thing, it feels like it's working.
No, I mean, even the cat thing didn't really get me as much, because so far I feel like the perception of someone who doesn't get involved with Final Fantasy, that's the first sort of like Final Fantasy thing to really leaking that I saw.
Okay.
Apart from me having sort of like chocobos as an attack at one point, like as an especially.
Hey, did you know what they were? Just random yellow birds coming
out. I know what they are, because they're like in loads of the games, I think. I've heard, that's one of those things that I've heard enough where it's part of my life. It's part of my life.
But yeah, you can't avoid all of it.
This has been just a really sort of like, for me, a cool sort of like sci-fi dystopia, and everyone's sort of like locked into a city and no sort of way out. And there's big distinctions of like the rich are up here and the poor are down here and sort of things like that. And I've enjoyed that, even though some of it's been real sort of obvious. And it's
right.
I just really like the look of this game as well. Like, even as an incumbent person, like even like the anime hair and sort of thing is locked behind these sort of like serious and stoic characters, sort of thing.
So I was going to say that, well, the mix of those two things, because obviously it has its roots in, you know, in anime design. Like you said, you're going to get massive oversized swords and massive spiky hair and everything. I guess that's another sort of wrinkle of like,
I what... do, I watch out for that sort of clip, and I think I've seen it clip through two things. Like, even when he sits down on the bench and he moves it, I think there's been two scenes where the sword is clipped. So,
oh, it does. I mean, like, there's no way that it makes it. Nothing makes any logistical sense. Like, Sephiroth's Masamune's sword is like bigger than him, and when he holds it, it goes all the way out. Like, there's no way that that's ever going to sort of work. But I guess, like, yeah, what are you sort of curious that might pan out going forward? Because, like, we know that it's coming in multiple installments, but like, what sort of answers are you looking for them to bring together by the end of this part?
Well, I guess, like, you leave Midgar after this, so like, is Midgar wrapped up forever sort of thing? Like, I edited your review, I think, and I don't
think you might have done.
Yeah, I have no idea, because I know, as I said, I, from the film Advent Children, and I know Sephiroth, and we've seen them at this, like, far earlier than that it was ever in this game before, so I know he's coming up somewhere, but I guess he's going
to
be
a role to play.
And I also kind of know the story. I'm trying to, like, dance around, but I know what happens at the end of Final Fantasy VII because I've edited videos on the internet before, and I've also watched videos on the internet before.
See, a lot of people, like, let's just say it involves Aerith. A lot of people know the Aerith thing, but don't know the Cloud thing. And so, like, do you know the cloud thing? Right, good. See, so for my money, that is a bigger twist. That is a bigger deal than anything that happens. Well, not necessarily a bigger deal, but it means more to that character and the thing that they do with Cloud. I always love that. And the way that it comes together, even in the 1997 one with the polygonal graphics and everything, that scene, again, I'm being vague as hell, but that scene with Cloud, when they finally bring him together, is brilliant.
Because I think I've seen, like, that scene in the 97 one, but obviously not with the audio, just sort of cutting it in and seeing all these little sprites around and not knowing what's going on, but seeing the air, like, the error thing is what everyone sort of points to in that game.
Well, that's like the Vader, I'm your father thing of Final Fantasy, or the 90s video games. I guess as well, would you recommend it to people who also haven't played a Final Fantasy? Like, has it been everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, I mean, I more ham it up in real life than I actually do. But like, someone who wasn't into Final Fantasy or had like no interest of ever jumping in, like when 15 came out, I glanced over and was like, no, thank you, sorry, I'm fine. And then looking at the Kingdom Hearts and then be like, no. And then thinking, how does my sister have platinums in most of those games? It's just insane. But this one has, I think, if I didn't have to play through it again on hard, like, when I'm so busy and like trying
to... Oh, you're going to get the platinum, aren't you? You can't do it.
I don't think I can, because I don't think I have the actual human time. Like, I don't think, unless I was to book like another week or so and just play that game. But I've really enjoyed pretty much all of my... Apart from Hell House, where I was so broken and distraught, because that was like one of my first things back after taking a break as well.
Yeah.
And that other sort of...
Oh God, saving just before the Hell House fight.
Yeah. And then falling down into that, the big man's pit, who likes his women in the dresses, and then find that thing.
Don Corneo's sewer bit.
Yeah. Apart from them sort of like giant bits, like everything about it has been sort of like, I like the mixture of like sort of magic with like just the dystopian sort of sci-fi stuff again. And I like how every character feels different, even though I sort of feel like I have my preferences at the moment. And they keep evolving and changing, which is weird, which I didn't think would happen. And I kind of get annoyed now. I'm annoyed that I won't have Aerith for a bit, because I've got used to her, and I've got used to using her as sort of like more of a main. But now I feel I'm going to have to go back, and I feel like maybe Barrett's going to get back involved in the mix. So it's weird. Yes and no. Yes, I would say yes. Especially now it's like, I got mine at like £24. It's probably even cheaper now.
Oh yeah, the actual entry price point would be a hell of a lot less than it was when they were milking the launch window. But I guess in terms of like the characters that I stuck to, my team was like Tifa. I was going to say Scott for a sec there, it's because I named him that. Cloud and Barrett. But I like having like Barrett from Ranged and stuff like that. Because I guess like in terms of the way the combat's laid out, have you just found yourself playing it in a way that, like, because it's meant to be channeling the old school JRPG stuff. Like, do you bring some elements of that in, being like not that familiar with the genre overall? Like, have you had to force yourself to play it in a way that isn't like other action games?
It's more the fact that I will try and beat the ones in the face that shoot any sort of projectile at first.
Right.
So there's a bit when you under in one of the sewers where these like squid things will shoot sleeping water at you.
Oh, they suck.
And rather than dealing with that, I just go straight into them and just like do them over straight away. But it's I don't know. I think it's just me of games. I always want to get the people that can either fly or shoot me first sort of thing. And I think my only sort of maybe big complaint is, like, I know they couldn't do this, but the enemies, when they shoot, you do so much more damage when Barrett shoots. And almost for half the time, I don't want to use him because unless I'm building up his meter to get sort of like to use a fire or a cure, that's why I don't really like to use him, because I don't feel he's effective and he doesn't really stagger or stun a lot of things. I feel like he feels very much like, say, support character three, whereas like, say, I could be Aerith and I could be flinging my magical balls over there, and then I can summon sort of like a circle of joy around someone and then do other things. Where I think Barrett, so far, if I was to rank, I think I've been out to play the four, he's at the very bottom so far.
Oh, really? See, for me, if I was going to compare Barrett and Aerith, I always thought that Aerith's basic attack was way too weak. And I know that you're supposed to be channeling stuff with her, and you do get way more like moves that you can do on triangle, like per weapon, where you are combining different things. And she gets, like you said, that ground circle that means you can cast stuff twice. She got there over time for me. Whereas with Barrett, like, he has that stun thing, and where you press triangle, he does those sort of shotgun blasts that like stun people. I thought he was like a powerhouse. Like, you just place him somewhere on the side and just have him rain down stuff.
Also,
from the side.
Imagine if these like towns were bigger and you could go around and explore more. Because again, like, the game just looks so good, and I like the setting so much. And like, I joke about, I'm not averse to anime. I've watched anime my times. I've dabbled.
He's
in
a Sailor Moon fan. He's loving it. So,
yeah, like, I can't remember the song right now. And Digimon get involved, because Digimon's better than Pokemon.
Being crazy.
But yeah, everything about this is becoming sort of like my jam, and by the end, I think it might be my favorite Final Fantasy, just over Spirits of In. But like, I love that this is sort of like a weird sci-fi magic world that has groundings in sort of a reality, but can kind of do what the hell it wants.
That's a lot of the core ethos of why Final Fantasy has built up this massive fan base, is because it feels like every numbered installment is like a nice little reset, but some stuff carries over, like the chocobos or a character called Sid or the Moogles or whatever. Like, there's little bits and bobs that sort of tie them together. Do you think you'll go back to the original, or do you think you'll check out any of the other ones, or are you going to wait and just do part two of when this next one comes out? What if you love Final Fantasy VI?
What if I loved Final Fantasy VI, but then, like, isn't that 400 hours or something like that?
Yeah, it's like 70.
If I had, say, like a PS Vita and I could play it on that and on the move, then maybe, but I don't, I'm going to be honest, probably not. I think I might stay with this new generation sort of stuff, and like, again, like playing, it's like, I finished The Witcher 3 this year, finally, but I'm not going to go back to The Witcher 2 sort of thing, that sort of thing.
Well, but that's the thing. I mean, especially with 7 in the remake, they changed so much. They make it way more accessible and just genuinely upfront enjoyable. Like, look at these production values and everything else, that like, it would take a bit of an effort to go back to the 2D ones.
I think this is a perfect way to reset it. And I think if they don't do like, say, 6 like this, or 9, 10, when do they start doing the MMOs? Was it 12 they were just MMOs?
No, it was 11 was the first one, and then 14 is the big one.
I think they should go back and do this for a lot of them. And I think they should do this for, like, something that I've always been curious about is Chrono Trigger, and I've never delved into that.
But that's good.
Yeah. Is that the one where you suplex a train, or is that a Final Fantasy?
That's Final Fantasy 6.
Yeah, so that's I want to suplex a train, but also I've sat and watched playthroughs of Chrono Trigger but not played it. So okay. I would like some of these to be sort of like adjusted for sort of like, for people like me, like for my sort of taste. It's kind of like, I guess, whereas I would say like, you got to play Resident Evil 2 Original, but everyone else is playing Resident Evil 2 Remake. I'm like, you kids.
It is kind of like that, actually, because it was when the first Resident Evil came out, and it was like, this just is the new definitive version. This is the one that you recommend. But with us growing up with the originals, like, you have that sort of, you want people to be able to say, like, to have that comparison, to be like, oh, look how far it came. Look how much you can compare it.
And would you want it remade sort of more like, if to use Resident Evil 3 example, would you want Resident Evil Remake, the number one that came out like 2002? I would have just been happy to have that 2 like that and 3 like that, but having this action leaning on it and having it a bit more like saying, well, when I go into this game, I'm gonna shoot a zombie in the head and it's dead, and like, oh no, it's more than one bullet in the head, right? And I feel like that's the silent kind of thing that some people get with Final Fantasy, and like, I would, if they were to make the rest of them like this, I would then go in and play them.
Right. See, that's, yeah, I think that, I mean, obviously we're going to get part two like this. And then I'm just curious if they end up doing, because Final Fantasy VI was the last top-down 2D one. And I'm curious what they do with something like that, because that would be an even bigger overhaul. The thing that I thought got in the way was just the way the story was laid out, where it was like, I could tell what beats we had to get to. And the way that they change around how Sephiroth works, and how he's in like Cloud's mind at the beginning, and he goes to sleep and he disappears. Well, the remake is about 30-ish hours.
The original game, how long was that?
Oh, it sort of varies, but about 40, 45.
So if the first 20 minutes were like 30 hours, I mean...
Well, that's what they've done, yeah. Like, the opening of Midgar is like the big iconic bit of the original Final Fantasy VII, but that's about 4 to 5-ish hours. And then they stretched all that out to like 30 hours for this, which for me and like Benji, when we went through it, we were just so aware of everything that was being dragged out. It was just, you just couldn't get away from it.
I just thought that you would be saving kittens in any sort of Final Fantasy game. I don't mean like...
Sadly not. There's all that stuff where you go and chase after the kids and hang out with them and like learn where their little hideout is and whatever. None of that is in the original one. The thing is, I think if you find yourself enjoying the world and the story, if you only ever went back to the original and played the first 5 hours, the pace of it is just so much better in terms of the way that they roll those elements out. But you also don't get as much time to just drink the world in. Yeah. So it's good that they've nailed that too. But yeah, I just find it endlessly fascinating, this game that has this massive legacy behind it and what it's like coming into it fresh. But yeah, let us know down in the comments if you're following along on the video side of things, if you picked up Final Fantasy VII Remake having not played the original, or come find us on social media if you're listening along on the audio platforms. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Goodbye.
We'll catch you all next time. Bye.
Chocobos.
Ooga booga.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.